just to add one more point to the summary, that the Shias, and particularly the Ismailis, when they insist that the Ulil Amra have to be chosen by God, I had given you two ayats for that, yes?
Yes.
21:73 and 32:24. And in both of them, God says that he has appointed these imams to guide by his command. The word command is Amra. So this is the meaning of Ulil Amra. So those two ayats were very key. And you know, because these topics are so full that it is easy to leave one or two things out, which I did myself. And I had decided that after the summary, I will fulfill those 2 points. Surah 36, ayah 12, Inna nahnu, ending in وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَصْوَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامِ مُبِيلٍ. The importance of this surah is also, I should have mentioned, that the surah Yasin has a title amongst the Ummah. The Ummah called this surah Qalb Quran, Qalb, -I, Quran, Qalb Quran, meaning the heart of the Quran. And you know, Surah Yasin is recited in all times of affliction, calamity, when somebody passes away. It is recited on many, many such occasions. It's given a great deal of importance. It is the heart of the Quran. And it is in the heart of the Quran that you have this ayat, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَصْوَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامِ مُبِينٍ. So that's one important point which I wanted to add to my last week's presentation. And then I also wanted to, I made this comment that in the exoteric translations, they tend to always, where ayahs are a little bit ambiguous, meaning, for instance, in Surah 2, Ayat 124, Abraham is called an imam. So in that case, they can't do anything about the word imam except to translate it as a leader. Right? Because it's Abraham. And they can't call him a scroll or a pattern or a whatever, yes? But in there are ayahs, Aibakula Shena Sena Fimam, which are translated as the manifest book or the clear book or the perspicacious book, etc. But the interesting thing is, note this down, in Surah 78, Ayah 29, there is also a verse which says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ كِتَابًا. And everything is in a book. So it's important to know that there is also this side of it, that why would you translate وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ سَنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ as a book, when there is already an ayat which says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ كِتَابًا. Yes, it's important. It's a little point, but it's an important point. And of course, in esoteric terms, the word kitab and the word imam can also be interchangeable, because the kitab supports the existence of the imam, and the imam gives the meaning of the kitab. Yes? Okay. So that was last week, and of course I gave you the homework, because today we start on the beautiful dua of Allahumma ya Mawlana anta salam wa minta salam wa ilayka yarji'u salam hayyina rabbana bis salam wa adkhilna dar salam. You know, look how the word salam is repeated so many times. And if I'm not mistaken, this same prayer was recited by one of the imams who represented the Muslim community last year, just before the pandemic lockdown came in. You know, they celebrated the Commonwealth at the Westminster Abbey, and the Queen was there, and Maulana Hazrat Imam was also there. And this imam, he recited this dua. So it's a very well-known dua, extremely, you know, you can recite it anywhere. Amongst any gatherings, mixed faiths, multiple faiths, whatever, even, as you said, non-faith, where everybody understands the importance of peace. But how do we understand the word salam here in our dua? Because in these sessions, we are trying to access the deeper meanings, which is why I asked you to look at Surah Saffat. And in this surah, there are five ayats in which the word salam is used with ala Nuh, salam ala Nuh, ala Ibrahim, ala Musa wa Harun, ala Ali Yasin, and ala al-Mursalin. So the word salam is obviously connected with these very elevated personalities. Right? And then, apart from that, in the Quran, the word salamun is 33 times, and salaman, depending on the grammar, 9 times. And further, the word as-salam in Surah Hashr, which is Surah 59, Ayah 23, I had already given that to you, that this Surah Hashr, who Allah, la ilaha illallah, we recite it in our namaz-e-ziyarat. There are 16 names of Allah, and one of them is as-salam. So Allah is peace. All these very elevated personalities have peace associated with them in the Quran. So that means we are not just talking about material peace in any sense. We are talking about a peace which comes through proximity to God. So Allah is the source of peace. We say this in our dua. Yes, everlasting peace is from you, and everlasting peace returns to you. Yeah? Give us life of peace. Yeah? So what peace are we asking for? Are we asking for peace in the sense that we don't have too many material problems like ill health, etc., so we are peaceful? Are we just asking for peace and unity in our families, in our societies, amongst human beings? Is this the sort of peace we are asking for? Yes, definitely we should ask for such things. But I think we have to understand that here we are really praying for a peace that comes from the merging in the light of God, reaching the highest possible planes of the human soul and higher, as Maulana Sultan Hajj has put it in his memoirs. Companionship on high, right? That which the Prophet experienced, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he experienced that on his mi'raj. That type of peace. So at least we should be aware that we are aiming at that higher peace, you know? Because unless human beings understand what that higher peace is, they are never going to yearn for it. They are never going to aim for it. They are never going to struggle for it. So it's very important. And Maulana Sultan Shah also says that in his Usulul Infirmat, it's very important to have clear concepts in faith. What am I really asking for? Am I really asking for material peace? Because if it is material peace I'm asking for, then it's going to end when I pass away from this world. Because nothing material lasts. So am I asking for spiritual and intellectual peace? Yes. And I hope that everybody is thinking now in their minds that whenever Talika for Ruhanis comes, what does Maulana Halk Imam say? And I pray for the eternal peace of the Ruhanis, doesn't it? So this eternal peace is something which is our real purpose for manifesting on this earth. Our whole life is about attaining that eternal peace. And we have the examples of all the prophets in front of us. They all attained it. They also were immortal bodies like us. So if they could do that, and this links back straight back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that Surat al-Mustaqim is the path of those upon whom God has bestowed favors. What favors? The everlasting, eternal peace. That is the favor of those people. The prophets, the asas, siddiqin, the shuhada, the imams, and the swalihin, the hujjat of peers. So up to the level of a peer hujjat, and above that imam, asas, the first imam of the cycle, and the prophets, they have all reached, they are all in the proximity of God. They have merged in the light of Allah. There is no separation between them and their origin. That is the eternity. And for this, I had asked you to look at Surah 6, Ayat 127, and Surah 10, Ayat 25, right? And if you look at Surah 6, 127, but you also have to look at the ayat number 126 because they are connected, right? It says, وَحَاسَ سِرَاتُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is the path of your Lord, a straight path. We have detailed our revelations for a people who take heed. The revelations of Wahid, the Quran, is not for people who are not going to reflect. It is for people who reflect and who follow. And then ayat number 127, for them, so the people who reflect, who take heed, who pay attention, like we have mentioned before, when the Quran is recited, pay attention to it, meaning absorb it, internalize it, and then act upon it. For them is the abode of peace. Lahum darussalam inda rabbihim. That word inda is very special in the Quran. Inda means close to God. For them is the abode of peace with their Lord, and He will be their protecting friend because of what they used to do, because of their amal, because of their good deeds, because of their farman bardari, because they put into action what they were taught by the guide of the time. So both those ayahs, 126 and 127, you see here that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is linked with Dar es-Salaam. So the straight path is the path to the abode of peace. So peace is the ultimate goal, the ultimate end of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then in 1025, and Allah summons to the abode of peace and leads whom He will to a straight path. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَّا دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَعْدِي مَنْ يَشَعُوا إِلَى سِرَاتِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So in this one ayat again, Sirat al-Mustaqim and the abode of peace, Dar es-Salaam, are linked together. In other words, Sirat al-Mustaqim is something which we need to take very seriously. That for people who are on Sirat al-Mustaqim, they must progress on it. They must advance on it. They must have movement towards the destination. They should not get stuck in whatever stage they are in. That is against nature, because nature itself is dynamic. And the imam of the time, his presence is to keep this dynamism alive through appropriate guidance according to time and space. Okay? And then we finish with another phrase of God, which is Tabarakta Rabbana wa ta'alayta ya zal jalali wal ikram. Tabarakta. This is from the word baraka, right? Yes, which, as you know, Maulana Hazimam has said that there is no English equivalent for the word baraka. Yeah? I don't know if you've ever thought about this word baraka, but a very good example of it is in the Quran. It is the ayat which is used by ECFED, the Akhan Fund for Economic Development, actually. And this ayat is about one grain, if it is sown in the soil, it sends out, you know, it grows into seven ears. You see the magical number seven. And in each of those grains, each of those ears, there are 100 grains. So from one, you multiply into 700. I don't know much mathematics and arithmetic, but, you know, that is, you know, one into 700. That type of abundance, that type of barakah, and not just physically, because this barakah will include spiritual and intellectual boundaries. So, tabarakta rabbana. So, rabb, sustainer, wataleita, you are blessed and sublime. Jalal and Ikram, two very major names of God. Jalal wa walikram. Okay. Beautiful dua. Beautiful dua. So from Allahumma ya Maulana anta salam, right up to Jalali walikram. This is a very, very beautiful prayer. And we can use it whenever we like. And it has all these connections with the Quran. That the word Sirat al-Mustaqim twice in the Quran is associated with Dar es Salaam. Okay? So this is the word Salaam. And I hope in the question time I'll ask it for Lord Bhatia, because he, when he started the dua, he asked this question about Salaam. So is he now, you know, more knowledgeable about this word Salaam? We'll go on to the final part of the paragraph of the second part. Allahumma ya Maulana minka madadi. Allahumma ya Maulana. See the word Maulana? The word Maula is for God, it is for the Prophet, it is for the Imam. Yes? And it is a very curious word. Like the word Bayya. In Arabic, there is a fascinating linguistic characteristic that there are words which have totally opposite meanings. So you know the word bayya, we'll also mention it when we come to the fourth part. The word bayya means to sell and to buy. Opposite. And the word mola, and of course, they're in between several meanings, okay? The word mola means master, and the opposite, slave. So, one has to be aware of the context. Where is this word mola? In what context is it used? So here, Allah is our master, and from Him is our mother. Minka madadi. You know, there are still Gujarati speakers who still say, Ya Ali Madat. They use the T at the end, Madat. But the actual word in Arabic is Madat, with a D, right? Ya Ali Madat. So, you know, this is a smiley greeting. I believe Shnash is also used Ya Ali Madat, yeah? And Ya Ali Madat is not just simply a greeting like hello. I'm not saying good morning or good afternoon, because I think you know that when you say goodbye, means God be with you. And goodbye is an abbreviated form of God be with you. Right? So I think good morning and good afternoon might have some divine thing behind it. I don't know. I haven't researched it. But Ya Ali Mother is not just an ordinary greeting. It is a prayer for the person you are greeting. And if they greet you back, they are extending that same prayer to you. So this word, mother, is very, very important. Yeah? Alayka mu'tamadi. You are my trust and support. Alayka. Jamaat has problems between distinguishing between alayka and ilayka. Yeah? So, alayka mu'tamadi. You, on you is my trust and support. And then, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. We spent a lot of time on that in the first part. That the type of worship and seeking it from God alone, right? Avoiding any partnerships or whatever. This, how do you seek from Allah? Like the people who are going to drown on a boat. You should have nothing but the divine in your mind when you seek help. And then, now comes a very interesting statement. Ya Ali, bi lutfika adrikni. Oh Ali, from you is my help. And you come to my help. Adrikni, right? Now, this is a very amazing co-relationship. Just seconds before you are saying, Allahumma ya maulana minka madadi wa alayka maulana ya kanahud wa ya kanasrain. And then you follow it by saying, oh Ali, come to my help by your favors. This conjunction of Allah and Ali, this is in the dua, not once. I will show you elsewhere as well as we go along. And this is exactly the case in the Holy Quran. So, I want to show you one particular example, which is very famous. If you have got your Qurans there in front of you, go to Surah 3, Surah 3, Ali Imran, and go to ayat number 101. And 101, it's a longish ayat, so I will only read the last sentence, and says, he who holds fast to Allah, he indeed is guided unto a right path. He who holds fast to Allah. So you see, this is the equivalent of Allahumma ya maulana minka madidi. Directly asking God for help. But how is God going to help you? So skip one ayat, 102, and then go to ayat number 103, which is a silver jubilee ayat which Maulana Hazim Imam chose as a silver jubilee emblem. And what does it say? And hold fast, all of you together, to the rope of Allah. This is a very outstanding example that the Quran also uses this dual language. And that's the case in our holy dua. So, we do not, in other words, we do not dichotomize, we do not differentiate between divine help, because divine help has to come through his intermediary, through his wasila, through his ruh, or through his ulil amra, through his prophet. It has to come to them. So, ya Ali bilutfika adrikni is telling us about the relationship of the prophet and the imams to God. Yes, we mentioned just now, closeness to God, proximity to God. How close? How can you be close to God? You know, I don't know if you, maybe, I love this story of the Mi'raj, that the Quran actually says that the prophet was, two bowls close to God or closer. So if you have two bowls, if you hold up your fingers like this, they are the shape of the bowls. And the Quran says that the prophet during Mi'raj was close to God as much as that or closer. Meaning that he had completed the circle, right? Kaaba kausain aw adna. Kaaba kausain aw adna. Close to, but closer. So this is what the prophet was, that he was merged in God. The imam is merged in God. And it is poor human beings who try to separate these two. So it's not easy to separate them, right? That the help from Allah can only come through his ulil amr. And that's the imam of the time. And his name is Ali, like all the imams are called Ali because they are the same name. Okay. And then comes the shahada. La ilaha illallahu. You all know the meaning. Muhammadur Rasulullah. I want to emphasize here the pronunciation. Very important that we pronounce this phrase correctly. The Jamaat constantly says Rasulillah. It's not Rasulillah, it's Rasulullah. La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah Aliyun Amirul Mu'minina Aliyullah. And then Maulana Shah Karimul Husseini Al-Imamul Hadirul Mawjud Allahumma laka sujud. You see, all the sounds are you sounds. And this is, if you like, the fundamental of our tariqah. La ilaha illallah. Tawheed. The belief in the oneness and the unity of God. How will you learn about this unity? Through the risalat, through the prophethood of Nabi Muhammad, who is the final prophet in the cycle of prophets. So, Tawheed, prophethood or risalat, and then Ali. Ali is the first Imam of the cycle. So, he comes next, and then from the line of Prophet and Ali is the Imam. So, now we have four statements. And that's where you all heard Maulana Haris Imam say that there are unique characteristics of Shia Islam. This is one of those meanings that you can understand, that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is the common creed or shahada of the entire Muslim ummah of 1.3 billion. Where everybody says that. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But then, who says Aliyun Waliullah? Shias. All Shias insist that Ali was the rightful successor to the Holy Prophet. But then some Shias stop midway. And only the Ismailis go forward to Maulana Shah Karimul Husseini Al-Imamul Hadirul Maut. So the Ismaili Shahada consists of four statements. This is our Kalima, right? And the insistence that it must be Haziril and Mawjud. Present. Okay, Alhamdulillah. So today we have finished the second part of our dua, and I hope that it has opened up a lot of things for you to reflect on. And now maybe we can have questions, and then I have some more little homework for you to do for the next part, okay?